The reading is written in Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at verse 11, and is to be found on page 1175 of the Church Bible. Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
As we prepare to hear God speak to us through his word, let's pray first. Jesus, we do pray that as we come to your word, this passage from Ephesians, we would see you more clearly. And that in seeing you, our lives would be transformed. Everything would change today as we gaze on you. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Well, with my approaching departure from St. Patrick's, the thing which caused me great sadness, it's worth thinking about the future and what will happen when the celebrating here at St. Patrick's comes to an end. And part of that will be finding a new vicar, a new leader, a new church leader. And because of that, we're doing a short series of four Sundays on leadership. And what we are going to see is that what we should expect is, just as in every other area of life, being Christian should make it distinctive. And not just distinctive in some areas, every aspect of leadership within God's people will be different. Now, actually not as different as it might be, because of this, my geeky historian here, because of the 19th century and the evangelical revival, the Bible has influenced how our culture thinks of leadership to a great degree, but much of that is being lost, and we will see that increasingly Christian leadership is distinctive. But as we talk about leadership, as we think about over these four Sundays, recognizing the faithful leader, how do we recognize the truly Christian leader? You might think, well, who does this apply to? And is it for me? Well, I believe it's for everyone. Clearly, those who are being led need to know about Christian leadership. Ask the question, whom will I follow? I need to know what an authentic Christian leader is. Now, you might say, because of our culture's rampant individualism, well, I don't follow anyone. Well, in which case, you follow yourself. And a good question to ask, if you're in that position, is, do I measure up to this view of Christian leadership as I lead myself through life? So how will I choose whom to follow? But also, if I think I don't follow anyone, how will I judge myself? But also within church, there's all sorts of leadership. There's those who lead us in our worship. The service leader like Tony today, the preacher like me today, the person leading the prayers like Sue, the music team leader like Mark, or the home group leaders who meet each week. Then there's the leaders in the home, parents and carers, older brothers and older sisters, uncles and aunts, honorary uncles and honorary aunts, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on. Then those are those who lead in the area of hospitality as our church, the people doing teas and coffees afterwards or providing refreshments. at any number of our church family activities, or those who lead in our outreach groups like Cameo or Lunch Club or the Saturday Morning Cafe or any of our social events. And then, of course, there's those who lead administratively, the vicar and wardens, the staff team, the PCC. So I confidently feel this is for everyone here, and I hope the Lord speaks to you through it, whether you are someone who follows, whether you are someone who leads, or whether the Lord is preparing you to be someone who leads. You need to listen up, because if you want to know what it means to be successful, as we were thinking about earlier, we need to listen to God's word. But before we look at our particular theme today, I just want to notice one thing from verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. First, that lists the people, all different sorts of leaders. Most of them are still applicable today. But I want you to notice the bit before. So Christ, that's Jesus. So Jesus himself gave these leaders. Now that's really important. It tells us that Christian leadership is a gift from Jesus. Now, at times, this idea has been misused. Rather than saying Christian leadership is a gift from Jesus, I say, I'm a gift from Jesus. I have been divinely appointed and you must do what I say. Now, that isn't Paul's point. That isn't God's point here. No, it's to say that the role of leadership, the purpose of leadership, is a gift. And that has a message to our age, or in particular, I would say, middle-class Christianity in this country, where we have become embarrassed about leadership. Every church I've been to, at some point or other, I've had one of our home groups or another group saying, well, we don't really want to have a leader. We think it's better that we just all sort of muck in together. And they expect me to think that's a good thing. But my thought is, why are you passing up on one of Jesus' gifts to you? Jesus has given the gift of leadership. Why do you think you don't need his gift? No, instead, in our groups, we should be keen to have a leader. And we should want to make sure that they're a really faithful leader. And we should thank the Lord for our group leaders, because they are a gift from Jesus. Their role is a gift from Jesus. So let's dive into the theme of what we're looking at today, which is recognizing a faithful leader, and in particular, their purpose. What is the purpose of the faithful Christian leadership? Well, when we were reading through that reading, as I was reading in my preparation, the overwhelming thing that came to me was Jesus. He is all the way through this passage. The leader we've seen is given by Jesus. And the leader has the job to build up the body of Jesus. So he says, so Christ himself gave leaders to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, may be built up. Well, why is that? Well, so that we'll be united, what? Around faith in Jesus, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. So this is where we are. The leader is given by Jesus to build up Jesus' body in order to be reunited around faith in Jesus. And then finally, so that we will become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the whole measure of the fullness of Jesus, the one who is the Son of God. So the leader is given by Jesus to build up Jesus' body in order to be united around faith in Jesus so that we might become more and more like Jesus. And this is the only message you need to really take home from these 4 weeks. The faithful leader is all about Jesus. The sign of a good leader is that when they lead, you think more about Jesus than about them. John the Baptist was this great leader. And he says about Jesus, his cousin actually, he says, he must increase and I must decrease. Isn't that striking? He says, I am not worthy to untie Jesus' shoes. So often, tragically, Christian leaders have acted as if Jesus should be chuffed that they've taken on the job of leading his people. No. The true Christian leader is all about Jesus. And when you follow them, you find yourself thinking more about Jesus than them. And I want to give you two applications of this first point today. The first is if you're a parent or carer. Talk about Jesus all the time at home. There was a moment which had a profound impact on Katie, my wife, and me as we were raising our children, and then later on those who were placed in our care. And that was, we were at a conference, and they came out with this statistic, to this day I think is totally made up, but we'll go for it. And it says something like that. It says that in households where church is talked about, I don't know, very few of the children become Christians. But in households where Jesus is talked about, like 70% did, I mean, it was a nonsense figure. But the truth underlying it is profound. Rather than talking about an organization or an institution, rather than grumbling about some of the messiness that happens in church life, because we're a bunch of sinners, of course we are, we've come for salvation. You talk about Jesus. Try to talk about Jesus. Talk about your relationship with Jesus, with your children. Talk about how precious he is to you. Talk about what he's done for you. Let them see you praying to him. Let them see him, see you reading his word. Be a good and faithful leader, all about Jesus. The second application is this. When Katie and I were looking for where we would go next, we looked at church profiles. Now, what will happen here at St. Patrick's is once I'm licensed at the new parish, the PCC will agree, that's our church council, will agree a parish profile. This basically says, this is what St. Patrick's is. This is who we are. And this is who we would like to lead. And so Katie and I were looking at these through for other churches. And do you know the most off-putting thing about actually a large number of the profiles? They didn't mention Jesus' name. Nowhere. Nowhere in their description about themselves or about who they wanted to lead did they name Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not even talking about, there were profiles who named Jesus, but it was peripheral. There were some which simply did not mention his name. That actually made our life very easy. You know. I couldn't believe that. If somebody wants to know who St. Patrick's is, surely we're going to say Jesus. He's going to be front and centre. He's going to be our all in all, all in all. Anyway, so that's the purpose, all about Jesus. And we're going to see three ways this works out. A leader will lead the God's people to be gloriously for Jesus and gloriously like Jesus. We've seen that we're about Jesus. Now we're going to see that we can be gloriously for Jesus and gloriously like Jesus. Gloriously for Jesus, first of all. It says here that the church is the body of Christ. And later on it says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This idea of head and body is twofold here for Paul. One is just physically, we are part of Jesus. And in fact, Jesus has chosen that the church will be the way he acts in this world now that he has ascended to heaven, whilst we would wait for his return. But the other reason is that head also had the idea of authority. So Jesus is also our authority. And that means that the church is for Jesus. And that image of head and body is one often used by the Bible. But there's another one, which is a very similar one. And that's in 2 Corinthians 11, amongst other places. This is Paul writing to a church that is being tempted to drift away from Jesus. a church that he founded, and he's miles away now, he's writing to them, and he says this: I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you, the church in Corinth, to one husband, to Christ, to Jesus, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Jesus. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Here, the image now is not of a body for its head, it is a bride for the bridegroom. The church is being prepared to be married to Jesus. Now, as you may know, two of my children have got engaged recently, and that means there's lots of wedding talk in my house. And basically for me, that means just battening down the hatches, keep your head low, try not to say anything or give any opinions or anything like that, and then hope somehow I'll be able to emerge in a couple of years' time and everything will have happened and I'll be all right. But actually, I love this image. And it made me think a little bit. Paul here, as the leader, describing being the one preparing the bride. And I've never been there when the bride is getting ready, and I'm very, very thankful for that so far. But I imagine it's quite chaotic. But there's also normally somebody who's tasked with making the bride look passable. And you know, like the makeup and the hair and the clothing and everything else. Katie had to wear a corset. I imagine it was a team of people who had to sort of pull her into that. But anyway, it was very effective. I tell them, well, I should just stop, shouldn't I? But there they are, working really, really hard. Why? Because the bride wants to be beautiful for the day, and especially for her bridegroom. And so the one who prepares the bride wants that too, and they use all their skill and all their work. And that's the role of the Christian leader, the parent or carer in the household, the home group leader, the church leader. How am I preparing St. Patrick's to be this beautiful bride? That's how the faithful Christian will feel. Not primarily concerned with numbers, with buildings, with strategies, with which songs we're going to sing, or how many songs we're going to sing, or how many times we're going to sing the songs. Not with money, not with rotas. No. The truly faithful Christian leader wants one thing: that the church will be glorious for Jesus. Now, there is a danger here. And Paul mentioned it in that 2 Corinthians reading. The danger is that a fake bridegroom will step in. And we'll think more about that later, about how one of the jobs of the faithful Christian leader is not to allow God's people to be captivated by a fake Jesus. We'll come back to that in future weeks. So the faithful Christian leader will want to prepare God's people to be a beautiful bride. But what does it look like to be a glorious bride, gloriously for Jesus? We've seen we're gloriously about Jesus, that's the leader. To make the church gloriously for Jesus, well, the answer is the church will become gloriously like Jesus. Verse 13 of Ephesians 4. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is picking up a passage which Tony preached on last term from Ephesians 3. And it's Paul's prayer that they will be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This dream, this glorious vision that you and I, if we are believers, will be so filled with God that we reflect his glory. Rather unhelpfully, a future daughter-in-law took a picture of me in the lounge just this week and posted next to a picture of Kermit the Frog as a comparison thing. And I looked at that picture of me and I thought, oh my word, you look awful. You look so old, but not forever. One day I will look glorious, maybe not physically, but I will glow with the glory of the living God. of the living Jesus. However you feel about yourself, however your self-esteem or your view of yourself, if you're a believer, that is your future. It's wonderful. And a leader's job, my leader's job, and my job as leader, is that I and God's people will be glorious, filled to the measure of all the fullness of Jesus. So we'll become like Jesus. And as we become like Jesus, we will be bound together in unity until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Now, just in passing, a word about unity here. What the faithful Christian leader pursues in unity. There are two views of unity. Here's the fake one here. That's the boundary rope view of unity. The one too often that the Church of England, of which we're part, has been drawn into. Is this idea that as long as everyone's within the boundary rope, we all belong to one, we're all one. And when there are disagreements, we just push it out further and further so that it'll become so far out that we never actually have to spend time together. We never have to meet each other. But we'll still be within this massive boundary rope. That isn't unity, is it? This is what true unity is. True unity is about pushing closer and closer together as we crowd around Jesus. Don't you love that idea? Like spokes going towards the hub of a wheel. A wheel without a hub is just a hoop. And the only thing a hoop's good for is, I think it is on a Thursday evening for power hoops over in the church centre, if you want to be part of that and get fit using a hoop. And that's the only possible use I could think of a hoop. A wheel, however, revolutionises things. We are called to be united by coming closer to Jesus, the hub. We're united as we come gathering round, crowding round the Lord Jesus on a Sunday. We're united here. As we come and share bread and wine in remembrance of his death and sacrifice for us and the meal we're going to have with him in glory when he comes again, we are brought together as we gather around Jesus. We crowd in on him and as we become like him. That is what leadership is. That we are gloriously about Jesus, a leader, so that we will lead God's people to be gloriously for him and like him. Looking like him is glorious holiness and purity and goodness. Philippians 2 says, the result of this, when you've worked out your salvation with fear and trembling, is that you will shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the gospel of life. Here, Paul is saying, you are in this corrupt and depraved generation. He says, you're in a world without light. But as you push into Jesus, you will shine like a star. And that means our lives need to be turned upside down and inside out and washed clean. You know that imagery of, have you ever used, I hate these actually. It's a bizarre imagery, so just stick with me. It just came to me. You know, silicon stuff you use for cooking, baking. What do you call that? Silicon mold, thank you. And the muffin mold, right? Impossible to clean. Yeah, really hard to clean. The muffin mixture gets in there really hard. And what you have to do is you have to sort of poke it inside out, don't you, and then try and clean it. There's a very few people nodding with this illustration, but I'm trying to go beyond rugby here. Done knitting, and now we've got silicon molds, right? Well, that's what we need to do. To become like Jesus, we need to be turned inside out and we need to be clean from the inside out. Why? So that we'll become glorious. A good leader will make it their ambition to help you become more gloriously like Jesus, which means eradicating sin and unholiness from your life. They will do that by pointing you to the glory of Jesus, which at times will be painful as you look at your own life. But then you'll find healing as you receive his forgiveness and know the cleansing power of his Spirit. They will help you to see the things that are getting in the way of you becoming truly glorious like Jesus, even as they wrestle with those same things themselves. You will recognize a faithful leader because they will have a godly dissatisfaction with them and you staying the same. And they'll be driven by a joyful and glorious vision. They won't be satisfied with themselves staying comfortable and as they are, and they won't be satisfied with you staying comfortable and as you are. They will have a driving longing for more. So if you're a home group leader, you're not just there to run a Bible study, to provide tea and coffee, to have a prayer time. No, those things are important. You have been given the task by Jesus of preparing the people in your group to be more gloriously ready for Jesus and gloriously looking like Jesus. So, to wrap up, leadership, the purpose of leadership is to be gloriously about Jesus so that those you lead will be gloriously for Jesus by becoming gloriously like him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, that is my prayer. My prayer is that as we are led, we will seek out people who point us to Jesus, the real Jesus. Not a fake bridegroom, but the real deal. And Father, as you call us to be Jesus' gift to your people as leaders in all sorts of different ways, may we be gloriously about Jesus, and may we lead those you've given us to care for to be gloriously for Jesus and gloriously like Jesus. Amen.